Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning. And thank you, Lord, that as we go to your word, Lord, we can receive everything we need for life and godliness. We can receive, Lord, the things you have planned us to have. Because in your word, Lord, there is truth. And the truth set us free. And we give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, for the things you're going to do this morning. For the fact, Lord, that we are going to be receiving from you, Lord, in your spirit and in your mind, Lord, the things that are going to help us to transform us more and more into your own image. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I wanted to just connect from where we ended last week. The understanding of the importance of the Word. The Word, the way it operates in our hearts, the way it just changes and transforms us. What we had to realize and understand that when we read the scriptures, when we read the word, God is speaking to us. He's talking to us as he's right there in front of us, wanting us to understand and recognize and appreciate and respond to what he's telling us. But it starts with believing it, because we have to really connect with what he's saying, accept what he's saying, and receive it in our hearts so that it can start operating in our lives. They can start manifesting in our life. Okay? So this is what we want to see happening. We want to see happening the things that God says in his word to become manifested in our lives so that we can actually experience what God said we should experience. Now, this is what God would like to see and what we can cooperate with God for it to happen in our life. But that's not always what happens in us for a number of reasons. And the number of reasons generally is that either that we don't hear what he's saying, we don't understand what he's saying, or we don't believe what he's saying. Because what he's saying may be so, from our perspective, so far-fetched, so big, that our mind find it unbelievable. And this is where then we become the hindrance to God to perform what he sent his word for. See, in the Old Testament, you know, Psalm talks about the fact that, you know, they limited the Holy One of Israel. So the implication is that we can limit what God can do today on earth by our acceptance, by our attitude, by our beliefs, by everything. And that seems almost, you know, for some people believing that doesn't make sense because God is all-powerful. The thing is that what people do not understand, I mean talking about Christians, not people in general, what Christians do not understand, that God has delegated to us his authority and his power. And that he expects us to be the one ministering life to the world and changing the world. This is all the idea of the Great Commission. Jesus' job is finished. Although he has a part to play now as his intercessor for us and so on and forth, You know, but the job, his work on earth is finished. He has given his job to us today. And we are the one to implement and to communicate his word and his truth to the world. To minister the life that he came to give us and pass it on to others. But that's going to be dependent on one critical factor. The word being alive in us. You see, Jesus became the word made flesh. If we become like him, this is what we should become. Only as the word become powerful in our life and our flesh, we can be Jesus' representative. It's not out of our own thinking or out of our own ideas or out of our own abilities. You see, it's not our abilities that is involved here. It's his ability. You see, he came so that the Holy Spirit can come on us and operate in us in the same way it operated in him. And this is what, you know, it seems from most religious people that is almost a blasphemy. But this is the truth according to the scriptures. We had to break loose from religious, pious ideas in which we are the one doing the ministry and we, because of the way we are, can do things and depend and rely on him, his ability and his power working in us, knowing that it's not us, but him. Amen. So we get out of the way. And we are not anymore hindering him from achieving his purposes. Hallelujah. So I better get back to my message today. Amen. All right? I mean, I'm not too far off, but I went for a while. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the beginning. That is where we start. Okay? See, 2 Corinthians 1:20 said a critical scripture, important scripture for us to remember all the time. Okay? For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Amen. Now, you know, that sounds almost too good to be true. And many people really question or doubt it. But that's what the word says. We have to acknowledge that, but we have to understand the way it works. It's not automatic. People think that God does things automatic. Instead, God works things through us. And so we have a part we play, and the part we play is that we have to exercise our faith to receive the promises. And so when we understand that, then we see the importance of the topic we have been dealing with in this series, which is really understanding faith. And there is such a complex, different manifestations of it that is not on a mental level, that has to be received in a spiritual level, and one has to see the different aspect of it to really be able to come in contact with and understand it. You know, we saw that the importance of understanding or receiving by faith is really for us to know the gospel, to know the truth, to know the word. You see, it's the word when it comes and comes to us and we eat it and we receive it, they give us the basis to believe. And the basis to believe, really, when it gets to the level of operating, allowing us to operate in the power of God, then that becomes faith. But until we get to that point, we are just at a different level. And so we have to understand the different degree or level in which we can have in dealing with the word. Because when we understand that, we don't end up deceiving ourselves to have what we don't have. You know, 1 John, James 4:22, you know, says that, you know, then unless we are doers of the word, we are deceiving ourselves. Okay. Really understanding that, that means really the fact that we are doing the word, but actually the word is effective in us. And the deception comes by the fact that, you know, we agree with the word, but really we don't believe it to the degree of becoming effective. There are many things that you have read in the word that actually you may not experience yet. And there are things because we grow into the understanding, grow into the our heart being prepared and receiving and really truly believing it, being fully persuaded that the things apply to us. You know, we can be fully persuaded mentally, but not emotionally. And we have to understand that and understand that that emotional blockage is going to block the ability of the word to be able to operate in us. Now, there have been so much teaching on this. So we had to start really understanding the importance of the word in us, being immersed in the word, being, you know, baptized in the word, so that we are completely flooded by it inside, and there is taking place everywhere in our emotions, in our feeling, in our thinking, and everything else, so that we become full of the word. And this is why it's so important to spend time in it, meditate on it. You know, different people operate differently because of they have different personalities and different experiences. And because of that, some things may be more effective to you than somebody else. Like, you know, somebody else may find that meditation is the things that really works on them and produces results. Others may find that, you know, they had to be more active and, you know, speak it out and speak it aloud and getting into it and so on. And fine. You know, it just you find out what works for you. You know, you look at the people that minister in the past about, you know, for example, healing, all the healing ministries. Not one of them operated the same way. Some people try to operate somebody else, like, you know, I'm not going to mention. But, you know, the idea is that this, you know, each person has a different way in which their faith was activated. I mean, take Wigglesworth. I mean, he was violent in his ministry of healing. I mean, they said that once he kicked a baby off the stage when he was praying for him, and then when they caught him, he was completely healed. I'm not saying to go to imitate him. Okay? I mean, that's there is a reason why he operated that way. Okay? It just, the form, the way the forms is not the essential thing, is what works for you. Somebody can be very quiet and just put their hands on it, pray for you and be effective. Another one, you know, they had to shake you up. Many of the early evangelists having a healing ministry in the 40s and 50s, they were really shakers. I mean, they would just move you up and push you around and, you know, do everything. They got results. Doesn't need to do that? Do you see Jesus doing that? Okay. So that tells the story. That was something that was activating their faith, but this was not, quotation mark, the method. Okay? What counts is really what turns you on. Your faith, what shifts on your faith. That's all. And you had to find out what is doing it. Now, you know, the point is we had to go back to the Word. You had to always go back to the Word. The fact that the Word, you know, forever, Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. That means it's a stand, is established, it does not change. The Word is good today as in the 40s and 50s. The methods can be different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't need to imitate what was done in the past. What we need to do is to connect with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach us through experience and through what we do and to the success that we get the things that we should do. You know, but we had to realize that the world is established in heaven. Now, it's not established on earth. Because things that are happening here are not the things that God wants. God's will is not achieved on earth. God wants us to pray his will on earth. We have a part in establishing his kingdom here because we are Jesus' ambassadors, the one that he sent. We have to understand that and we have to be willing to take our responsibilities and our roles. Okay? You know, sometimes the word is difficult to understand. Other times, there are parts that we have difficulty in accepting. But Psalm 119, verse 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth. So you can take a part off because you are not comfortable with. You have to take the whole thing. You know, praise the Lord. And every one of his righteous judgment endureth forever. So when there is a problem, that we have a problem with some statement that comes in the Word, we have to take it seriously and say, why is that? And not try to fix it so that fits our own theology, but try to understand why we think in a way that that sentence make us uncomfortable. Somebody today... when the time of worship read, spoke this verse here, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, I think that the Lord was showing us exactly the direction that we are going to take. The importance of the word for us to connect with, to receive the things that God has prepared for us. We have to make that connection. Okay, sometimes things may appear so unlikely, impossible from the point of view of what the Word says and what we are experiencing or where we are at. Just remember Mary's reaction to the angels when he came to tell her that he was going to have a baby. She didn't say, this is impossible. You see, that was most of the people's attitude would have been, well, don't tell me that, I don't know anybody, and this is not the case. No, she simply said, how can this be? She wanted to be instructed. She wanted to understand the way that was going to happen. See, this is a completely different attitude. See, that's the attitude we should have when the Word of God speaks to us and seems like impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't try to figure it out, even because by trying to figure it out, you're going to put limits on what God can do. What you have to do is say, how can this be? Can you explain it to me? And if you can understand it, he will. But don't try to make it up, because that's the way to actually hinder God from being able to achieve his purposes. See, there is a part and a component that we have to understand. And I go back to a scripture I read last week, and I'm going to continue reading, and there is more on that. 2 Peter 1:5 says, but for this very reason, giving all diligence to all and to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. It was talking about the knowledge of that we get in Christ, the knowledge that we get through the Word. Okay. And after having said that, he is saying, you know, for that reason, okay, giving all diligence. See, there is a requirement for diligence. You say, well, that's works. Well, if you don't do any work, you get nowhere. You have to see, you see, works are not negative in themselves. It's what you are trying to get through your work. Works is an essential part. Diligence is an essential part to connect with the Word. You have to be committed to it. It doesn't say just take it seriously. It says giving all diligence. To add faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. So you see, here essentially it's telling, you know, it's almost giving us all the fruit of the Spirit. So, I mean, the implication and that the fruit of the Spirit are going to result actually in us doing things that line up in spirit, not just physically. See, appropriating faith requires this kind of work. Now say, well, wait a minute, you know, I see somebody that was just saved and poof, you know, they got healed, they got everything got cleaned up in their life. Yeah, generally that happens when you are born again, when you start at the beginning. But after, you know, it's like babies. A small baby don't expect to do things by himself. They are born and they are cleaned up. Changed diapers, they were fed, they just had to do, wah, and they get fed. Well, try to do wah when you are 30 years old. Probably going to people are going to say, what's wrong with you? Are you following me? There is, you know, God expects us to be willing to participate in the process. And so as we develop and grow, then he can do things that otherwise, you know, at the beginning, in his kindness, in his grace, he gives us things very easily. But after, we need to line up with him. And this is not a negative thing. This is because that way we can achieve in a different way. You know, those kind of things when you're born again happen once and maybe twice, but after, you need to become consistent in producing the results of the Spirit. And when you become consistent in producing the results of the Spirit, then you're going to see that things are going to happen on a regular basis again. Why? Because you put the diligence that cleaned you up to the place God can work through you. Now, God can work through everybody because he cares more about ministering to people than the person that is ministering. That's important to understand. Sometimes, you know, when we get out of the way and we let God use us, even if we are not that perfect, he is going to use us because, you know, who is that perfect? Okay? So this is important. So as it goes, continue there, you know. So really what I'm saying is appropriating things by faith involves not just something that is somebody faint of heart, somebody that gives up easily. Involves somebody that is pushing through and is willing to pay the price in terms of getting closer to God and getting the word inside us and getting the word working within us. Okay. All those things that are there so that we start to have the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in our life and we start walking in the Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is manifested. When you're walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is going to be manifested in you. All right? Praise the Lord. So, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, you may have all the knowledge, you may have all the theology right. But your heart is not being changed and cleansed, you are not going to be fruitful in your knowledge. Okay? For if you lack these things, is short-sighted, even blinded, and has forgotten what he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. You know, there's a mania about this diligence, Peter here. I mean, he's just pushing it. And if he keep repeating it, there must be a reason, isn't it? Right. Be diligent to make your calling election sure. For if you do not do these things, you will never stumble. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Hallelujah. So we can see here how important is to listen to the word, start to applying it, and be diligent in getting from the word what we need to understand and we need to receive and how we are going to have faith. Don't question it. You see, in the prayer that Jesus did for the apostles and his followers, in John 17:17 says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So you see, this is our sanctify means, you know, separate them. Just make them, you know, holy. Make them, purify them, clean them up. And this is what he was calling us. So, believers that apply faith, they're going to be exercising and developing in this way. Now, let me make a difference here. That one has to understand. There is a difference between faith and agreeing with the word. Agreeing with the word was given a name by Kenyon in the past, you know, mental assent. Mental assent is false faith. We can be fully in agreement with the word. And we believe that we have faith, but it's false faith because really it's only mental and it's not spiritual of the heart. Okay. Now, you know, I'll give you an example of the difference that is very clear to understand what the difference is. And actually, I think this came comes from Kenneth Hagin. I heard it from him years ago. Says, you know, the difference between faith and mental assent is what happens when somebody is good to walk on the rope and it walks on the rope between two buildings with a barrel. And it goes to two or three times through. And then Sam to you says, do you believe I can do it another time? And everybody, yay, we gone. Okay, if you believe it, who is willing to come into the beer barrel? See, that's the difference. Right? See, that shows really where your heart is. Are you willing to risk it? All right? So, you see, that is the problem is with mental assent. It's a false faith. That when you have it, you think you have faith. In reality, you just agree with it and you like what it says. And you want it. But the fact that you want it doesn't make yours. Okay? When you believe on the word, you act on the word as well. That's why, you know, James 1:22, really acting on the word is more than just doing, you know, okay, you know, somebody looked you in the wrong way and you're smiling at them. That's more than that. It's really taking your trusting God in the things that are difficult to trust. Okay. See, and there is another parallel to this that is really also not faith. It's Thomas believing. So you remember, you see, let me read from John chapter 20, verse 27. So Jesus was resurrected. Everybody is so they said, well, you know, Thomas said, until I see the wounds in his hand and his side, I won't believe. So they just, you know, do you see Jesus ever criticizing somebody for not having the faith to receive? Okay, I'm going to formulate this in different. That's absolutely true. Do you see Jesus any time criticizing people, ministering to others for not having the faith to give? Lots of times. You little faith, how long do I stay with you, you bunch of faithless people? Send him to me. So you see, there is a complete difference between the two things. Exercising the faith for yourself to receive and exercising the faith to minister to others. I give you an example. I could actually give many examples because there are so many. You know, Branham, many of you know Branham? He had an unbelievable healing ministry and prophetic ministry. He could talk to you and says, okay, you know, you, the way he works with the word of knowledge, you know, you down there, you came in this morning, you woke up, and, you know, maybe that your coffee went on, you spilled coffee on your suit, and he came here, and then you were driving in the road, you know, and explaining everything. You live in the number of the street, your doctor is so-and-so, names, and everything. He would just describe everything so that, by the end that he finished talking, he says, you know, what don't you know about me? So, well, God told me all these things, he's going to heal you too. And the guy was healed. That's the way he lifted the faith of people up. But he had, a strong faith for healing. Well, his theology was funny, was really messed up. Okay? Was wrong theology that was so messed up, you know, but, and God wasn't too happy about it. But still, he uses it. Well, not very old. I don't know. It was even in 30 or 40, early 40. He had a car accident. It was a devastating car accident. He was dying. And his son was with him. And his son was dying too. And when he was dying, he said, send my son to him. Lay hands on him and he was instantly healed. But he wasn't. He died. So you see, God could use him even in those conditions because he had the faith to minister to somebody else, but he had not the faith to receive for himself. You see what I mean? See, sometimes we make statements that we don't understand things. That, you know, first of all, Jesus never criticized anybody for not having the faith to receive. But he criticized people when they didn't have faith to minister to others. That's something that we should remember. Because if we see in the history of the healing ministry in general, we can see that reflected 100%. Anyway, what I wanted to say, you know, that with Thomas, Jesus did not really criticize him, and he went all the way to help him to believe. He went there and appeared and says, Thomas, yeah, let me read it. He said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hand, and reach your hand here and look at my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Okay? And Thomas answered, said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. You see, the real faith doesn't depend on the things we see. Faith depends on the word. So, you know, put it in, for us in practical terms. You can see lots of healings taking place. Doesn't mean that that gives you the faith to receive healing for yourself. You understand what I'm saying? So faith comes by, you have to understand when faith is operating into you so that you can exercise it for yourself, or when you are moving toward having faith, you know what to do to develop faith in you, because Jesus said how to do that. Following me? Good. Praise the Lord. Because you see a miracle, doesn't make you to, and you believe that it's God, doesn't make you necessarily to be able to receive, you have the faith to receive one. Okay. Okay. And because you work miracles for others, doesn't make you necessarily a faith to receive one for yourself. Okay. Now we can see that happening with Karen Kuhlman, we can see that happening with Branham, we can see that happening with A.A. Allen, we can see that happening. I mean, all of them. Their problem receiving for themselves. Now, things have changed. Things have changed. There is much better understanding today than were in those days. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us many more things, so we should put us in a better condition. All right. So, the key thing is important to remember for us is not to fall into the mistakes of judging because of not receiving. Our job is not to judge. Our job is to minister. Okay. So, now there is, time was so fast. There are two types of unbelief. Okay. And I may be able to squeeze this in. Yes. It's important to understand believe and unbelief, because believing is believing the word, but to what the degree you believe is the what determines the degree of success that you see in the word in you. But there are two types of unbelief that operate at the same time in us as belief, because you know, you sometimes you believe certain thing and then you look at some other things and you believe something else and you are vacillating, you know, wavering between two things. So it's important to understand that there is an unbelief that is determined by ignorance. I mean, if you don't know something, how can you believe it? So if you don't know that God wants to heal, if you don't know that God wants to heal everybody, because you don't have the scriptural basis for it, then you are never going to be able to determine that, then you are going to be vacillating there all the time. But if you are properly educated in the Word, then you are going to know without question of the doubt that the atonement included both healing in the body and spiritual freedom. See, that's why Jesus was flagellated first for our body. And then, you see, if Jesus would have been crucified without being flagellated, there was no healing provided in the atonement. By stripes, or by his bruises, that's a better translation, we are healed. Amen. Not by the crucifixion. In the crucifixion, he gave his life so that we can be forgiven of our sins because he took our sins on himself. Amen. See, the two things are so parallel. For if you start there, you can start everywhere. This is why, you know, see the communion service. I mean, talks about that too. See Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, talks about that too. Not only that, but 11 and 12, to say, repeat the same idea. You know, parallel, go completely in parallel. The atonement for the physical body, the deliverance for the physical body, and the deliverance for our spirit. If you need to be educated in that, you should read one of the best books that was ever written on that topic. And it's only 52, 53 pages by the greatest scholar that ever existed on Greek and Hebrew word, which was Macrossan. He was, before he was one of the leaders in the Methodist Church, something like that. And later on, because Spirit-filled, or kicked out of there and started ministering to from this room. But he wrote a booklet called Healing in the Atonement. And he goes through every verse that you can think of, explaining all the Hebrew and Greek word to the extreme, that anybody that wants to have the trouble to go through that booklet, because it takes a lot of effort to, it's pretty heavy, is the best book that has been ever written. And there are different versions. Some people, sometimes they've been simplified because it's too heavy to read. But this guy was the best scholar that ever existed. And he takes other scholars from other Germans and other things, all confirming what he was saying. And he was simply saying that Jesus, the atonement included both our physical healing and our spiritual deliverance. If that's the case, God has done it. It's finished. It's the same way as he wants everybody to be saved spiritually, he wants everybody to be healed physically. Is everybody saved spiritually? No. Many die and go to hell. This is not God's will. Is everybody healed physically? No. Many come short of believing, even believers. It's more complicated than that. Okay. But the fact is, when we don't understand, we try to pass judgment on things we don't know about. Okay. If you want to have understanding, read that book. If you can spend the time to read it through, you will see that changes your attitude on that. Many, many theologians don't believe in this, in the atonement, but they're simply ignorant about the word. They had to read this book, and that's the most clear explanation that they can ever imagine. Now, it may be difficult to follow. I agree with that. Okay, so unbelief for lack of knowledge, and this is one of them. Unbelief for not be open to be persuaded. That's another unbelief. You see, you can hear it, you can agree, but just your flesh doesn't like to give in. This is described in Hebrew chapter 4, verse 9, when it talks about the rest. Therefore, there remain a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent. Another, you see again the word be diligent. See, that's what brings us to that rest. Be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone falls according to the same example of, depending on the translation you have, either example of disobedience or example of unbelief. And actually it's the same word in Greek, which actually means both, unbelief or disbelief, which is really rejecting belief. Taking a position says, no, I can't believe that. So that brings about the fact that we don't have peace inside ourselves about the truth. And we have no faith, actually, because there is unbelief in our heart to stop us from this. How do you get that? Your senses? I mean, your senses are talking to you, say, oh, you know, I mean, I'm aching. I'm saying, you know, by stripes I was healed. You struggle, I say, you were healed, you have to receive it now. Okay? So, the idea is that we have to believe what we don't see and what we don't experience before we experience it. And this is the principle of faith. I mean, how do you get saved spiritually? Is when you are cleaned up already, or when you say, I believe that because he died for me, he took my sins away. And now I'm righteous before God. Well, that's what the word of God says. And that's what it says also about our body. By his stripes, we were healed. Praise the Lord. This is a good gospel. This is a gospel that set us free. Doesn't matter, you know, the truth. The thing is, it's an easy gospel. It's easy to have faith for anything. You had to come against yourself. You had to come against. You had to die to your own senses. You had to die to your own thinking. You had to die to your own reasoning sometime. Because reasoning, you know, I mean, didn't Mary had to die to her own reasoning? You know, are you telling me I'm going to have a baby? Don't tell me that that's an easy thing to do. I mean, consider all the consequences of that. It's going to be, I mean, everybody was saying, you know, hello? You see, I mean, to have faith, you have to be a warrior. You have to be willing to fight for what you believe. You know, consider how long took Abraham to get his result. What he had to go through. And how he messed it up all along anyway, many times. Many times, not once, but once was worse than all the others. Hello? Yet God didn't let him go. He was a friend of God. That didn't mean that he was able to do everything right. So for us, amen. Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Did you get anything today? Yes. You know, when we talk about faith, we have to be, you know, people don't like to hear the word balance, but you have to look at the aspect so that you can handle the aspect that otherwise, if you ignore, they are going to be hindering you. The fact that you have hindrances doesn't mean that you cannot overcome. The fact that there are, you know, the enemy is there to steal and kill and destroy. I mean, he's there to try to stop you. So if you ignore him, you are not going to be able to win. You have to know the tricks that he has on his sleeves so that you can take your own position and you can do the things to stop him. Amen? Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You, Lord, in your word, give us all the direction that we need. But we have to spend the time in the word to be able to find out all the things that we need to know, Lord, and all the things that you expect us to know. And so we just give you all the honor and the glory today, Lord, that we know that, Lord, in you, we can be conqueror. The Lord, with you, we can have all the things that you promised us. That we can, Lord, nothing is impossible to us as we allow your Holy Spirit to work in our life and to give us the direction, the understanding, and the anointing to break through these things. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.